Good morning, brothers and sisters, and those who are online. Today, we focus on John chapter 12, verses 20 to 23. The hour has come. Our chains are gone. This is very important for us as Christians. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to live for you and want to do what you want us to do. Please let us have your words live in our heart. Please come into our life and guide us through the service and our worship in your temple today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let us go to John chapter 12. Verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. This is very important. Why the Greeks want to come and see Jesus. So this came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. So Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast, What happened to the slide? Reverse it back. Can you help me to reverse it back to the first slide? Okay. All right. So truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be so. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The cloud that stood there and heard it said that it had thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. After reading this passage, let us think about what is our purpose of believing and following Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? And why did the Greeks ask to see Jesus? I always like to tell people that I'm Christian. And sometimes my friend asks me, they say, "How come you don't have Christian name?" I say, "No. Bible never say Christian must have Christian name. I have my name given by my father, so I keep my name. But of course, it is important we know the meaning of our name. This is very important. Like my name, Chinese called Zhi Chen. The Chinese meaning is Yu Zhi Zhe Si Jin Chen. You understand? If you have the will to succeed, you will succeed. This is very important. But anyway, not only that, some people also say, hey, you Christian, really utilitarians or opportunists or speculators. Why they say that? They say you all believe Jesus or follow Jesus. You have your purpose. Oh, because you want to gain access to heaven and eternal life. If this is the purpose for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and this is your purpose, you ask me whether you are saved. My answer is that I have no confidence. Because don't forget, the purpose to accept Jesus Christ, later on we go through the message, we will understand why we believe, why we follow Jesus. This is very important. Because some people are doing something good, they want to have rewards, right? Without rewards, they may not want to do anything good. When people help the poor, what is their purpose? Out of their passion, their love, or just look at the reward. If I help him, I can get this reward, so I try my best to help him. If this is a way, I tell you, this is not doing good. I'm from a very poor family. When I was in secondary school, during the school holidays or vacation, I always look for work. Sometimes as an odd job laborer. You know, I even went to Plau Bukum, Shell, or oil tank, help the odd job laborer to weld the tank, you know, as a welder. You know how it is very dangerous. Sometimes you have to climb very high. And not yet, sometimes, because I stay in Pasir Panjang, opposite my place are all super rich along the seaside. And the other side of the road, all are very poor, kampong. We have a lot of Malay and Indian. All right? So in school holiday, after the Sec 4 exam, I went to the house opposite my place. Because their house helper was my mother's good friend. She always come to my house and chit-chat with my mother, talk to my mother. And one day she asked my mother, can you ask your husband go over to my place, help us to paint the house? I heard about that. So my mother said, no problem. She asked my father. My father said, okay, no problem. So I followed my father and go there and paint the house. That day, I still remember Saturday. One Rolls Royce came in. One old lady stepped down from the Rolls Royce. She saw me, shouted at me, boy, come down, so dangerous. Why you climb so high? For what? So, of course, I thought she was a boss. So I went up. Then she said, come. Are you still studying? I said, yes. Then, okay. Monday, come to my office. I don't know what happened. Suddenly she wanted me to go to the house office. I said, where is your office? She said, not to worry. I sent my driver to fetch you. And what happened? She came. The driver came. Rolls Royce. Wow, first time at the age of 17. At the age of 16, because Sec 4 at that time. At the age of 16, first time I sat Rolls Royce. And I thought, few Chinese say, paisei, I don't want to sit in sit at the back. So I tried to open the door in front, but the driver came down, opened the back door for me. He said, no, you should sit behind. Wow, like a boss. So I went to the office. You know what she said? Do you still want to study? I said, yes. Not to worry. You don't need to work. You want to study? I will support you to study until you don't want to study. My God. This is really grace from God. Don't you think so? And she never asked for return. Never asked for return. I thought, oh, maybe after I graduate, I have to serve her company, right? You know who is she? Mrs. Loke Yew. For those old generation, maybe you had heard her name, her husband's name, Mr. Loke Yew. I think in Singapore, we have a road called Jalan Loke Yew also, right? In KL, there's a road called Jalan Loke Yew. Very famous. He's the big boss of Cathay organization from Hong Kong. So at that time, a lot of movie stars work under this Cathay organization. And never asked for reward. At first I thought, maybe I need to work for them. They said, no. After you graduate, if you want to continue your postgraduate, let us know. We will support you until you don't want to study. You don't need to come back and work for us. You can look for your job. Only if you cannot find a job, then come to us. You see? Never ask for reward. This is what? Never look for the reward when you do something good. This is very important. So for us as Christians, we believe Jesus, we accept Jesus as our Savior. What is our purpose? What is our purpose? Let us think carefully. Let us think carefully. Alright? So, Jesus came to Jerusalem for Passover again. But according to John, the Gospel, this is for the last time. He had just visited the home of Lazarus and his sister on his way to Jerusalem. So the growing crowds and the acclaim follow him to Jerusalem. Subsequently, Jesus rode a donkey and entered into Jerusalem. So why did Jesus ride into Jerusalem on the donkey rather than a horse? Why? In ancient Israel, it was significant if the king was riding on a donkey or a horse. When a king riding on a donkey, it means he comes for peace. So Jesus is the king of peace. So he rides on a donkey. Only when the king Only if the king goes for a war, then he will ride on a horse, right? Or go for hunting, also ride on the horse. Only the king come for peace, he ride on donkey. So over here, the Old Testament prophecies like these are Psalms, Daniel, promised God would send a deliverer, Messiah, to save his people. But unfortunately, the Jews misunderstood that, what this Messiah would be. And they greeted Jesus as a king. Though ignorance of the nature of his kingship, it would seem that they looked upon him as a potential nationalist leader. With his help, they might be able to become wholly independent of foreign powers. Because at that time, they are under the rule of the Roman Empire. So they thought Messiah would come and help them. So help them to rebuild their country. But Jesus made a symbolic entrance into the city as a king of peace. In the manner Zechariah had predicted that one day a king would come. So from the conclusion of the raising of Lazarus, many Jews believe in Jesus. This crowd of Jews witnessing the raising of Lazarus from the dead continue to testify. Okay. They continue to follow Jesus. They are likely going out to Jerusalem. So among those who went up to Jerusalem to worship for the Passover festival were some Greeks. Who were these Greeks? And what is their purpose and the meaning of their presence there? But whoever they were, they had heard of Jesus and wanted an introduction to see Jesus. So the Greeks, these Greeks could be from Greece or the Decapolis. Decapolis is a group of 10 cities near Galilee with large Greek population in eastern Palestine that was formed by Pompey the Great after the Roman conquest of this Palestine in 63 BC. So the lead was subject to Roman governor of this Syria. Okay. It is likely that they are Jewish proselytes. It means they have been circumcised, converts to the Jewish faith, so they are permitted to participate in Jewish festival. Or perhaps they may be also God-fearers, uncircumcised Gentiles who worship the God of Israel. In either case, a common interpretation is that the Greeks were Gentiles, and their presence there points to the direction of the future Christianity. So, a professor of this New Testament at the Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta, Professor David Ransberger, notes that they may symbolize the future mission of Christianity to the Gentiles. So it means what? Jesus saved not only the Jews, saved also the Gentiles. So he will draw all the people from all nations to follow him. This is very important. And the Greeks are probably drawn to Philip's because Philip is a Greek name. You know, Philip, the name, named after the founder of the city of Philippi. And it's from Bethsaida near the Decapolis. Okay? So, Philip is a Greek name derived from the Greek. Anyone here called Philip or named Philip? Anyone? Anyone here, Philip? And if you choose Philip as your name, do you know the meaning? I asked my friends, some of them call Philip, do you know the meaning of your name? They don't know. And if you don't know why you choose Philip, you are not Christian also. Oh, it's a trend, right? But Philip, actually from the Greek, Philippos. Philip actually means what? Horse loving or form of horses. From a compound of philos. It means dear, love or loving. Then epos, horse. So join this word together. That's why some Chinese, they translate Philip, they call Philippu, because it's Philippos. Okay? So the Greek are outsiders, so they are looking for an introduction to see Jesus. So Philip went with Andrew to look for Jesus. Andrew is also from Greek. It means man. Any Andrew here? Man, okay? Or strong, all right? Okay. So Philip and Andrew go together to tell Jesus of the Greek's request. And Jesus has become quite popular during the time. The Pharisees, after all, are complaining that the whole world is following after Jesus. Actually, Pharisees, they are not bad guys. They are really, really, they really fear of God. They really, really love Yahweh. They worship Yahweh. But the only problem is that they don't believe Jesus is Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe Trinity. But they are fearful of God. Okay? So they love God. They love Yahweh. Actually, they are not bad guys. The only thing is that because they have different faith. No. So Jesus has become quite popular. So the Pharisees, after all, are complaining that the whole world is following after Jesus. And the Greeks themselves were taking the initiative in wanting to see Jesus. So the word for see is derived from haraph. It's a Greek also. Which means more than glancing at. So not just only see, you know. It means want to have some conversation with him. Okay? So they wanted to become acquainted with him, to have a deeper experience of him, to know him more intimately, to converse with him. So their visit illustrates the truth of Pharisees' statement. Look, the world has gone after him. And also prompts Jesus to acknowledge that his hour has come. In John, the Gospel, you know, before Jesus said his hour has come, there are three occasions. Jesus said his hour has not yet come. And now this is the fourth time he entered into Jerusalem and he said his hour has come. And also prompted Jesus to announce that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself. An obvious reference to Gentiles, because all people, he never said Jews, right? All people, include Gentiles, ourselves. This was a sign that his ministry was about to come to an end as the Gentiles approached him. So the gospel he proclaimed was to go out beyond the Jews to all nations. He knew that the time was soon to come for him to die for the sins of the world. In verse 23, Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Now, the title Son of Man comes from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where the Ancient of Days, God gave to the Son of Man dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So the scholar, they agree that Jesus intended it as a messianic title, the Son of Man. Okay. So the title Son of Man has the advantage of having none of the militaristic connotations associated with the title Messiah. Because we talk about Messiah, if Jesus says, "I'm the Messiah," it can be a problem. Because they may want Jesus to lead them and fight against the Roman Empire. Because the title is something like, it's quite strong. So the Son of Man is so humble, alright? It's so humble. So the Jews expect the Messiah to raise an army, to drive out the Romans, and to re-establish the great David kingdom. They have no such expectation regarding the Son of Man. So Jesus used the Son of Man to describe himself. So Jesus' frequent use of the title in connection with Passion suggests a view messianic title. So the title obviously had meaning to Jesus. But the meaning will not be clear to the disciples until after the resurrection. So there are three earlier references in the Gospel of John to Jesus' hour. First one, early in his ministry, Mary, his mother, at the wedding dinner in Cana of Galilee, asked him to do something about the shortage of wine. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hours has not yet come." This is the first time Jesus said, "My hours has not yet come." In other words, Jesus had to do things according to his heavenly Father's timetable and not his human mother's. Then second occasion, Jesus was teaching in the temple, but there were those who took exception to his teaching and tried to arrest him. However, we read in John chapter 7, verse 30, they say, "No one lay hands on him because his hour had not yet come." Second time. So, after that, the third occasion, he taught in the treasury. So, there were those planning to arrest him in John chapter 8, verse 20. He spoke this word while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. In actual fact, these people, they make another attempt to arrest him, but the guards came back empty-handed when they were asked why they hadn't arrested him and brought him back to them. The guards replied, "No one ever spoke the way this man does. No one ever spoke the way this man does." This is Jesus. It seems that God's protection surrounded Jesus until the time was ready for him to go to the cross. But what would be the sign? Now Jesus said that the hour has come. So this great had come to see Jesus, no doubt in their hunger for spiritual reality. I believe their purpose to visit to see Jesus, not to ask him how to gain access to heaven or eternal life. They just want to have some spiritual reality. That's very important. When he knew that the Gentiles were seeking him, he said immediately, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." So there's no indication that Jesus paid much attention to Philip or Andrew. No indication he ever meets the very people who first said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Indeed, there's a quirky irony that in verse 21, there's a request to see Jesus, and yet in verse 36, we are told that Jesus hid himself from those great and everyone else. Indeed, in John's Gospel, Jesus will not appear in public again until he does so nailed to a cross. Why would he duck away from some earnest seekers? Because Jesus' hour had come. The time to see him had come and gone. Now it was time for him to be hidden in death, which is just what Jesus goes on to say. "My heart is troubled." And then he said that it's time to die, time to go the way of the kernel of wheat so that greater fruitfulness could be generated. So when Jesus announced that the hour for his own glorification in death had come, His sacrifice alone would open up the kingdom of heaven to all believers, Jews as well as Gentiles, including ourselves. It will bring redeemed the flood of the new Israel. This new Israel is not the current state of Israel. All right? The elect children of God at present scattered throughout hidden lands and enable them to all enjoy eternal life. So to be glorified in John's Gospel is another way of saying that Jesus will bring glory to God. So, over here, of course, to bring glory to God through his death, which would be followed by his victorious resurrection. Jesus expressed that, as he added, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Okay? So, you know, a seed is planted, and in order for life to grow from it, it must die. My house helper from Indonesia, he plants this lady finger, okay, over at my courtyard. So, grow very long, no? First time I see the lady finger so long. In pink color some more. Very good. The taste is very good. So when it grow until this size, I just want to cut. She say, "Sir, don't wait until it grow further." Then after it becomes so long, I want to cut. I say, "No." He say, "I need this one." I say, "You need this for what?" "Oh, I want it to dry out." I take out the seed and plant again. "Oh, dry out, it means what?" Die, right? The seed must die. Dry out. Then plant again. So, this is very important. So, Jesus must die to give us life. That is very important. So, the life breaks free from the seed and sprouts into something new, leaving behind the shell of what once contained it. Right? Let us go to Jeremiah. Chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I make with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts." Write it on their hearts. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." This is one of the most significant passages, not just in Jeremiah, but in all of the Old Testament, as we see. A promise of a new testament, a new covenant to come. This is much. There's so much here that God was promising. In the middle of such a dark, different time, the promise here is that God is going to make a new covenant with all the people who will trust in him. This new covenant is a promise that God will forgive all the iniquities of those who trust in him and remember their sin no more. And all peoples who trust in him, from the least to the greatest, whoever you are, whether you are illiterate, low educated or highly educated, you are poor or rich, wherever you are from. All are equal in the eyes of our God. So, a promise of New Testament, a new covenant to come. This is the promise in the Old Testament. Alright? So, with His promise, we have the privilege of knowing Him, of walking with Him, of being completely forgiven by Him through our Lord Jesus Christ, of Him remembering none of our sin anymore. And we have the privilege of obeying Him today by the power of His Spirit and His Word in our heart. So Jesus explained the significance of His death. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So, Jesus, in actual fact, is the treasure hidden in the field, allowing us to live right, live well, and live happily, making it worth of all the costs we pay, including our lives. So our purpose to believe, to accept, to follow Jesus, because we want to live right, live well, and live happily. Not because you want to gain access to heaven or eternal life. Remember, this is very important. Okay? So, if we hold on to our life as if it is of supreme value, we will end up being a seed that was never sown. So, seed that cannot be sown will eventually decay and be abandoned. Right? If we see that Jesus is the supreme majesty, and since we are the fruits of Jesus' sacrifice, then we should sacrifice more and bear more fruits. We will follow Jesus, even if it means death or material loss. Our lives will be spent in the service of Christ, and we are trees that grow and bear fruits. That's important. So those who love their life will lose it, but those who hate their life will keep it. Jesus is not saying that happy people will lose their lives and depressed people will keep them. He's saying that people whose lives are centered on self will lose them because the Father will not honor them. People whose lives are centered on service, even at the cost of sacrifice, will keep them because Father will bless them. Always remember that. We are expected to be fruitful even unto death and to trust that God will vindicate us. Okay. So there are too many chains on us. These chains are to cherish our own lives, our identity, status, money, and desire. Who can remove the chains from us? Who? We try our best to remove the chains. We know that there are chains on us, but we always fail. Right? So cherish our own life as we cherish the chains that bind us. Only when the chains that bind us are gone can we serve Him better. So only God the Father can break the chains that bind our lives for us. So, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It talks about the invitation to salvation for all who are tired and weary of the problems of life, so they can have a good relationship with Christ. However, this command and invitation are by choice. It is up to the individual. This is an offer. It's up to the individual. You may choose to accept it. You may choose to deny it. Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. God is not a taskmaker. God is not a taskmaster. He is a loving Father who is so intentional about us. Okay? So one of the most famous Christmas scenes in the Bible is the announcement to the shepherds by an angel to the Savior that the Savior is born. And then it said, suddenly there was with the angels multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God, peace to men. The angels are sent to make something crystal clear. The Son of God has come into his creation to display the glory of God and to reconcile people from alienations to peace with God. So when we come to the text in John chapter 12 today, there's no surprise when he heard Jesus praying that this would actually happen at the most important point of his earthly life, namely his death and resurrection, that God would in fact be glorified in the rescue of sinners. So, a psychologist interviewed no less than 30 dead row image. You know, all the dead row image interview say that when they were sentenced to death, they were particularly frightened. Nightmares and cold sweat were common, especially in countries with capital punishment. Before the execution, the prisoner on death row look confused and numb. There were also those who had suffered a mental breakdown. And this is what happened. And when facing the crucifixion, Jesus is troubled and distressed. Don't forget, Jesus lived in a human body at that time. He had flesh and blood. He had feeling and he could feel the pain. So you can imagine, if you know you are going to be nailed onto a cross, what is your feeling? So Jesus is troubled and distressed. But what is the response to this distress? What is the response to fear, concern, or troubling? Should the response be panic, self-reliance, and or something of the like? No. Jesus' response is to let God's glory be displayed. Let God's purposes be accomplished. And Jesus said that he is troubled. But what is he going to say? Save me from this hour? No. Jesus did not say that. Jesus has come for this very hour. This is what he knows. So, the path of Jesus is not easy. But there's no get me out of this response. Jesus knows why he has come. Jesus knows what he is supposed to do. His purpose is clearly stated in verse 28. Father, glorify your name. So, for Jesus, the path is not easy. But he said, glorify your name. Glorify the God, the Father. Okay? So, let us go to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10. So, also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him, who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he said also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the day of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and those who are online. Today, we focus on John chapter 12, verses 20 to 23. The hour has come. Our chains are gone. This is very important for us as Christians. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to live for you and want to do what you want us to do. Please let us have your words live in our heart. Please come into our life and guide us through the service and our worship in your temple today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let us go to John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. This is very important. Why the Greeks want to come and see Jesus? So this came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. So Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast, what happened to the slide? Okay. Reverse it back. Can you help me to reverse it back to the first slide? Okay. All right. So truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be so. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The cloud that stood there and heard it said that it had thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. After reading this passage, let us think about what is our purpose of believing and following Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? And why did the Greeks ask to see Jesus? I always like to tell people that I'm Christian. And sometimes, my friend asked me, they said, how come you don't have Christian name? I say, no. Bible never say Christian must have Christian name. I have my name given by my father, so I keep my name. But of course, it is important we know the meaning of our name. This is very important. Like my name, Chinese called Zi Chen. The Chinese meaning is Yu Zi Zhe Si Jin Chen. You understand? If you have the will to succeed, you will succeed. This is very important. But anyway, not only that, some people also said, hey, you Christian, really utilitarians or opportunists or speculators. Why they say that? They say you all believe Jesus or follow Jesus, you have your purpose. Oh, because you want to gain access to heaven and eternal life. If this is the purpose for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and this is your purpose, you ask me whether you are saved. My answer is that I have no confidence. Because don't forget, the purpose to accept Jesus Christ, later on we go through the message, we will understand why we believe, why we follow Jesus. This is very important. Because some people are doing something good, they want to have rewards, right? Without rewards, they may not want to do anything good. When people help the poor, what is their purpose? Out of their passion, their love, or just look at the reward. If I help him, I can get this reward, so I try my best to help him. If this is a way, I tell you, this is not doing good. I'm from a very poor family. When I was in secondary school, during the school holidays or vacation, I always look for work. Sometimes as an odd job laborer. You know, I even went to Blau Bukum Shell or oil tank, help